Well, grace and peace, it's good to be back. For some of you, you're like, who are you? For many of you, you're like, who are you? You were here like for a flash in the pan. My wife Megan and I were members here for 3 years while I attended Covenant Seminary, and I am so happy and glad to be back with you, just to be back with you. It's been 13 years since we were away, and it's so good to be back in a place that feels so familiar, yet is in many ways new, because God is making all things new, even us. And I'm so glad to be with you this evening, this afternoon, for this particular day, for this occasion, to help be a part of the installation of my friend Tim LaCroix. I bring greetings from my wife Megan, who some of you will remember, and our three kids. We left with one, we now have three. Ella, Josh, and Sam. And I was humbled by the invitation to come and to preach this afternoon. But before we get to our text, I must apologize for something. I went back and looked at sermons that I preached when I was an intern here, and I have to say, I am so sorry. So sorry that you all endured. And yet the Lord used even those feeble attempts. It's good to be back, because God used you to shape me. God used this people, this place, to shape me. To shape me as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a preacher. And it's so good to be back. The first Sunday we walked through those doors, I remember it like it was yesterday. Kurt was away on sabbatical. So we were like, oh man, whenever you're visiting a church and the senior pastor isn't there, and not only wasn't he here, but he wasn't coming back for a while. We were like, oh. But we walked in that Sunday, and Michael Gordon was preaching, and Vic Havens was wearing flip-flops. That's really what sold it. My wife, Megan, she loves wearing flip-flops. She's like, if an elder can wear flip-flops to church, this is my church. And the offertory was, "You Gotta Serve Somebody" by Bob Dylan. And we left here that day, not sure what we had experienced, quite frankly. But we knew that we had experienced something special. We had experienced the presence of God with his people. And we knew that this was our home for the next 3 years. We had visited, as you can imagine, in St. Louis. You being a seminary student, you're like, okay, God, let's check off all the list of all the churches that you got to go visit. We visited 5 churches before we walked through those doors. We did not go to another church after that Sunday, because God had called us here, to this place, to you, to be with you, God's people. We felt at home here. We also experienced what I call a holy uneasiness. Our prayer groups stretched us, helped us to learn what it was to pray for one another, to care for one another. I learned from Kurt how to deeply care for your people, how to use hot dogs and beer and baseball to illustrate the goodness of the kingdom. This morning, to sit and see little Max baptized brought back a whole emotion, all these emotions for me, because about almost 14 years ago, I sat right there and then stood up on stage as Kurt baptized our daughter Ella. And this morning, to have those memories flood back over me of the goodness that God gives us through his people, his church. To be reminded of the words that Kurt spoke
over Ella. The prayer that David Richter prayed when she received the sign and seal of Christian baptism. Grace and peace, you are forever a part of me and my family. Tim, you've been a really good friend. You've been an encouragement to me. You're someone I admire, and I'm honored to preach here in this place for your installation this afternoon. All right, enough of that. I have one of my good friends calls me the weeping prophet, so we'll get past this now. I want you to think back to the summer of 2003. For some of you, you're like, when was that? But think back to the summer of 2003. What were you doing? I knew exactly what I was doing in the summer of 2003. My wife and I, Megan, we packed up everything that we owned. And we moved what seemed like halfway across the country to a city that neither Megan or I had ever lived in or even visited up until that point. It all started a year before when I started to sense a call to go to seminary. And over that year, there was a lot of praying, talking, and seeking. We knew that God was calling us to go. He was calling us to leave a comfortable life, a place that felt like home. He was calling us to move forward. I knew this is what God was calling me to do. What he was calling us to do, but we were scared to death. There were so many unknowns. What was I going to be able to get back into the routine of studying after over 5 years of being out of my undergrad? Would I remember how to even study? My undergrad was in biology. I was a pre-med major. Was I going to be able to study theology? I was a horrible French student in high school. How the heck was I going to study Greek and Hebrew? Could we afford to do this? Were we going to lead ourselves into financial ruin? Were we nuts, leaving our friends and family behind? These and many other questions swirled around our heads as we packed up that moving truck and drove across the country. We traveled west and crossed the Mississippi River to the place God was calling us, Covenant Seminary, and a new church called Grace and Peace Fellowship. When we step out like that, it's scary. Maybe you've experienced something similar. If you're a member of Grace and Peace, in a way, today might feel a bit like that. There are questions about what the future might be like with Tim as your pastor. He's not Kurt. He's not Thurman. Will things be the same? Will they change in drastic ways? Will Tim ever trim his beard? The answer is yes. He'll shave it at Easter if he keeps his normal pattern. My experience and your experience may be like that of Israel. The people of God were experienced some of this in their passage today. They were being called to move forward, to go where God had commanded them to go, to look past all their questions and insecurities and rest in the promises of their God. Before we look at God's word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the story of your people. And how, Lord, we see ourselves in that story. And that story includes us by the work of your Son, Jesus. And, Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, that we would not only be transformed by your word, but be conformed to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our reading tonight was from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And if you've been in the church for any length of time, you'll know that the book of Joshua begins where the book of Deuteronomy leaves off. Moses, the great prophet, who God used to bring his people out of slavery in Egypt and led the people of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, has died. The people have been living on the plains of Moab, which is east of the promised land of Canaan, across the Jordan River. It's a good place. It's been a nice, peaceful place for them to live. In fact, it's even going to be the home of 2.5 tribes of Israel. And so it's part of what God has promised to his people. But God says they must continue on, to not stay in this good place, but go and take hold of what he has promised into the land of Canaan. They were being called to move forward, to go where God had commanded them to go, to look past their questions and insecurities and see the truth of the promises of their God. Now, in our passage, we don't see them questioning. We don't see Joshua or the people questioning out loud or showing insecurity. But in the fact that we read the words, be strong and courageous, 4 times in chapter 1, it might lead us to believe that they, in fact, were not feeling so strong and courageous. You'll remember that 40 years earlier, they were supposed to go into the land, but they were scared and decided not to enter the land, and God punished them with what basically was a 40-year timeout, right? Go sit in the corner for 40 years. But this time around, the fears of a previous generation may have been swirling around in their minds. Just like the Israelites, we have questions about what lies ahead. And we're not strong and courageous. And we can see that in our lives. Sometimes it's us just not doing what we know God is calling us to do, or maybe we reluctantly do it anyway. We can all make all kinds of excuses, try to validate our fears. But there's also another way that we don't do what God has called us to do that we often struggle with, is that we actually move forward with all kinds of gusto and spunk, and we take the bull by the horns, so to speak. But we do that out of our own strength, believing and trusting in ourselves. It's just as fearful as the first way of not doing what God has called us to do. It shows fear because we don't trust God just as much as the person who doesn't do anything. They're two very different outcomes, but both coming from the same motivating factor, not trusting in our God. So what does this passage tell us about moving forward and not being fearful of what lies ahead? When God calls, we see in our passage, we can have courage wherever we go because of His promise, His provision, and His presence. I don't usually alliterate, but it works so well tonight. So, because His promise, His provision, and His presence. God calls us to have courage wherever we go. First, His promise. Verses 2 through 4 through 6, basically. If you remember our reading, we see that God says, you know, my servant Moses died, and now therefore go over to the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. And then He reminds Joshua and the people of the promises that He has made. He says, I promised this to Moses, but in fact, you think about it, He didn't just promise it to Moses. The promise goes way back even before Moses. The promise goes back to Abraham. I will be your God and I will give you this land that you will inhabit, that your offspring will have. This good land I will give you. And so God reminds Joshua and the people of Israel of the promise that He made, not just to Moses. Yes, He specifically states Moses, but He's reminding them that promise to Moses was founded in the promise that He gave to their forefather Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to Moses, and to them. He goes back over the boundaries of the land, reminding Joshua and the people of all that He is giving them, reminding them that this is the place that is going to be for them, that He has promised, that He has given to them. Grace and peace, Tim. God is the God of promise. The Lord, Yahweh, is the God of promise. His promise for what is to come is grounded in what He has done. His promise for what is to come is grounded in what he has done. What are the promises that God is giving us, giving you, calling you to remember today about where he is leading you? What reminders do you need about his past faithfulness to know that his promises are true and secure? To be reminded that God is the God of his promise for what is to come is grounded in what he has done. Tim highlighted some of those things this morning in his sermon. He highlighted and reminded us that God has been faithful to this church, to this congregation, for years and years. I love it that when you go onto the website for Grace and Peace and click on who we are, and you read of who we are, right away there are two names, Ted and Gladys Smith. And I don't read those names as Ted and Gladys Smith. Grace and Peace is Ted and Gladys Smith. Look how great Tim and Gladys Smith were. I read those names and I'm reminded of God's faithfulness through Ted and Gladys. And through the stories that have been passed down about the faithfulness of God through the people of Grace and Peace. I read those names and I'm reminded of those of you who have been here and were discipled by Ted and Gladys, by Aegon, by Kurt, by Thurman, by Michael, by Mike, and now Tim. God has been faithful in his promises to this congregation. We must remember that faithfulness of his promises as we prepare to move forward. Because like the people of Israel, it would be very content to stay where we're at. It's a good place east of the Jordan River. 2.5 of our tribes are going to live here for the days to come. But God says that they shouldn't be content with a small portion of those promises. That they need to be ready to move forward, to step out in faith and take hold of what God desired for them. Grace and Peace, Tim, it's the same call for you this day. To remember the past faithfulness of God and the promises that he has made. And to know that he promises to be with you wherever you go. Not only does God keep his promise, but he also gives us provision. Verses 7 through 8. We see God say, not only be strong and very courageous, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Psalmist David reminds us in Psalm 19, in Psalm 119, that God's word is perfect. Sweeter than honey, like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In Psalm 119, David is so excited about the law of God, the good news of God, that he's rejoicing. It's like, have you tasted it? Have you tasted it? It's like honey on your lips. It's like that sweetness on your tongue. It's joyful in our mouths. God's word is there to nourish us, to delight us, to be that lamp to our feet and a light to our path as we move forward. This provision that he has given us is his word. But he also gives us the provision of people. Think about Joshua, the provision that he gave to the people of Israel. He was trained, he was mentored, he was prepared for everything that was to come. He went up on Mount Sinai with Moses. He was there at the golden calf. He walked with Moses in the tabernacle. He spied out the land in Numbers 13. You remember his name was changed from Joshua, he saves, to Joshua, Yahweh saves. Joshua was ordained by Moses to be the one who would carry, who would care for his people and lead the people of God when he lays his hands on Moses in Deuteronomy 34, 9. Joshua was a provision by God for his people. Grace and peace, God has given you the provision of Tim LaCroix to be your pastor. He's been equipped. He has experience. He has great gifts. He loves God's word. He loves God's people. How do I know these things? Because I've known Tim from the first few weeks of seminary. And I've known these things about Tim from the first few weeks of seminary. He's a little rougher then, but he's got, you know, God has rounded off the edges a little bit. But Tim was one of my first friends at Covenant Seminary. Our friendship was forged during six-week Greek, something that no person should ever have to experience. Tim cared about this guy who was struggling. Like I said, I was a horrible French student and showed up in my Greek studies. I wasn't very good. And I was struggling, and without Tim, I don't think I would have made it through six-week Greek. Tim says that I'm crazy that I would have made it, but I don't think so. And if Dr. Chapman was here, he could probably attest to that. I was floundering. But he helped me persevere. He spent countless hours helping me through. He stayed in my basement late at night, well past the time that he was done studying. He had it figured out. He had it good, but he would stay and be with me and encourage me and tutor me and drag me through Greek. He would stay to make sure that I got it. He was God's provision for me. He's continued to be God's provision for me as a friend. He's God's provision for you as your next pastor. God keeps his promise. He gives us the provision we need. We have his presence. Verses 5 and 6 and 9. I will be with you. One of the greatest promises of Scripture. Second to it is, I will not leave you or forsake you. I am the Lord your God. I am with you wherever you go. God promises his presence to his people. He says, I will be with you. If you didn't hear that, I will not leave you or forsake you. And if you didn't hear that, I am the Lord your God who is with you wherever you go. In the New Testament, the writers pick up this theme by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And they remind us that Jesus is the one who is with us wherever we go. He will never leave us or forsake us. He himself, Jesus says in Matthew 28, when he commands his followers to be about his business, making disciples, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't know what you're specifically going through this afternoon, but if you're like me, I know that you need to be reminded over and over and over and over again that God is with you. I need to be reminded that I am with you, John. I need to be reminded, I will not leave you or forsake you, John. I need to be reminded, I am with you wherever you go, John, because if you're like me, I need to be reminded because of the estrangement that I have with my father right now, of the overwhelming pastoral needs in my congregation, of the numerical growth that we're experiencing and how do we minister to all these people, of being a husband that honors and loves my wife as she deserves, of being a dad to a teenage girl, a preteen boy, and a feisty 9-year-old redhead. I need to be reminded in all those situations and all those things that my God is with me. He has not left me. He has not forsaken me. He's with me wherever I go, even across the Mississippi River to a city that I didn't know, to a church that I'd never heard of. He will never leave me or forsake me. What's your situation? You kids here, is there a bully at school that won't leave you alone? God promises, I will never leave you. I am with you. Do you feel like you don't have any real friends? God says, I'm with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you feel overwhelmed by your schoolwork? Are you wondering what the future holds in terms of college or work for those of you who are older? Are you struggling to work with a project, coworker, or boss at work? I will never leave you. I will be with you. Are the demands of raising kids stretching you thin? Do you worry about your children who are not living with you anymore? Do you wonder what retirement will look like if you can even retire? How many years is the Lord giving you on this earth before he calls you to glory? I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm the Lord your God, and I'm with you wherever you go. What will this new chapter in the life of grace and peace be like? For you, Tim, knowing what it's like to pastor a new congregation, I know some of the questions that you have. There are so many situations in life that we need to be reminded of God's presence in our lives. And God reminds you, Tim, I am with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm with you wherever you go. So God whispers, sometimes shouts, to each one of us and to us as his people, I am with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I am with you wherever you go. Now it'd be easy for me to stand up here and say, Tim is your Joshua. He's your new leader. Follow him. But if that's all we took away from this passage, that put way too much pressure on you and way too many expectations on Tim. And not only that, but we'd be missing Jesus. You see, what we see here in Joshua, Yeshua, Yahweh saves, is a picture of Jesus, Yeshua. Yahweh saves. Joshua wasn't perfect, but he gives us a glimpse of Jesus, the new Joshua, the one who leads his people into the truer promised land, the one who has the strength and the courage to lead us, the one we can follow forward. Joshua, Jesus calls to us and says, I'm your strength and your courage. Now live in my strength and courage. Minister in my strength and courage. Grace and peace, worship, love, and serve in the strength and courage of Jesus Christ. Tim, minister, preach, teach, lead, serve in the strength and courage of Jesus Christ. As you move forward together as a church, this is the truth that you must never forget. Jesus is your head. He is your leader. He is the one who we give our allegiance to, the one that we say, wherever you command us, whatever you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. We will obey you, Jesus. That is our call as individuals. That is our call as a community of God's people, a community called Grace and Peace Fellowship. May you do so in the strength and courage of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the strength and courage that you give us in Jesus Christ, that he is our strength, he is our courage, and he promises to be with us, that he will not leave us or forsake us, that he is with us wherever we go. Lord God, we praise you and thank you that your promises are true. Lord, we thank you for your promises, for your provision, and for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your church. And we thank you that you are with us as your people, and that you call us to go, to take hold of the mission that you have given us, and to walk in the steps that you have laid before us, that you promised to give us every place where we trod. Pray this in Jesus' name.